This is the Thrill of the Fight, 50 Years of Rocky, Episode 7, and we've reached the end of the Rocky saga with Rocky Balboa. Not the end of the franchise. Creed will pick up next week. We still have Creed and Creed 2 to talk about, and then the finale, and then this limited run podcast is over. So thank you to everybody that supported me along the way here in this passion project. I've enjoyed so much. Rewatching the Rocky movies, I do every year, but mostly here, and then being able to sit down and talk about them and being able to verbally express my passion for these movies to everybody. And we've gotten some great feedback on it. So, again, thank you to everybody that supported this journey that we've been on. We have, after today, 3 more episodes left. I can't believe it's almost over. It's been a hell of a lot of fun. But, you know, we said this was going to be a limited run thing, and it's the run's almost over here. So, you know, thank you to everybody that's supported this. Like I said, I've been getting some great feedback. So before we jump into Rocky Balboa, let's talk about the feedback I've been getting for Rocky V, which by far has been the most engagement that I've received on a social media clip of any of the shows that we've done here. So, you know, follow me on TikTok at Christian.NYYST, or follow me on Twitter at Christian_NYYST. And if you've been following me for a long time on either platform, you know that whenever I record a podcast, whether it be NYYST, The Thrill of the Fight, or anything we're doing on NYY Underground, I'll take a little clip from it as like a teaser or something that was like a hot topic that we were debating. Put it on social media to drum up a little bit of interest of the show. Is like, hey, you know, the show's out. Here's what we were talking about. And that's what I do. So this past week, obviously, you know, when Rocky V dropped, that episode dropped, we took a little cut of Rocky V where I talked about how bad the acting of the movie was, and the biggest sin that the movie committed was putting the iconic trunks of Apollo Creed and Rocky Balboa onto the hack jabroni Tommy Gunn. And, you know, this thing kind of blew up on TikTok a little bit, especially for the interaction and engagement my post on Rocky usually gets. And I'm saying to myself, there are not this many people alive that enjoy this movie. This post has gotten well over 100 comments, and I'm not even joking, half to if not 60% of them are in defense of this movie and telling me that I am wrong and it's an L take and it's their favorite Rocky movie. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, there is no way that people are this bored in their life that they're using their bot accounts to defend Rocky V, because I cannot believe that there are 50 to 60 people, and probably more if it's spread even further than it has, that like this movie. The man who wrote and starred in this movie gives it a 0. And you mean to tell me I'm supposed to believe you're a real human being, you're a real person that enjoyed this movie? Now, as I said last week, do I think Rocky V has no redeeming qualities? It's just a pile of trash all the way through? No, there were a couple of things we pointed out that we liked in this movie. But to sit there and rank it ahead of anything that happened in the original 6 films, to say it's your favorite, to say that I'm wrong for saying it's a bad movie, you're a bot. Or you have more brain damage than Rocky Balboa did in Rocky V. I just can't believe that these people exist. I've been watching this movie for however long I've been watching this movie, and every time I want to try and like it more than I did the last time, and I can't do it. There's been times that I've sat down and I've watched the movie and I said, this sucks. And then, you know, somebody will talk about it, or I'll see an actor in that movie in a different movie, and I'll say, maybe I'll give it a try again, and I like it a little bit more. And I say, okay, maybe I missed something the first time. I haven't missed anything in Rocky V. I've seen it enough times to know how bad it is. So for you to come onto my social media and tell me that I'm wrong, that you like it, it's better than 4, it's better than 2, it's your favorite, you have something wrong with you upstairs. Or the more logical response in my brain is that you're an actual bot and people are that friggin' bored in their lives that they're spamming my comment section with people that with comments that like Rocky V, because I can't believe it. I just can't. I can't believe that you're a diehard Rocky fan and that this is your favorite movie. I can't believe that you're a diehard Rocky fan and that you actually think this is a good movie. I can't believe it. I'm sorry. And some of the comments that you read, you know that they're not from actual human beings, which just begs the question, like, why did this post get picked up by bots? Why? But as we said last week, I am so internally grateful that Rocky V was made, because without Rocky V, there is no Rocky Balboa. If Rocky V had been even a good movie, an okay movie, a passable movie, Sylvester Stallone doesn't have the itch to correct what happened in Rocky V, and we never get Rocky Balboa. Now, I'll say this about the Rocky V defenders. If Rocky V came along to you as Rocky Balboa came along to me, and you have a different sentimentality for it, I understand that. I will say that I completely understand that, because as we get into this podcast and how I'm going to talk about Rocky Balboa, if you feel that I overrate this movie, you're probably right because of what this movie means to me. But the difference between Rocky Balboa and Rocky V is that Rocky Balboa is not a heaping pile of dog shit. That's the difference. So you can say, you know, because this is the first Rocky movie I got to see in the theaters, or I saw this with my dad, or I have a fond memory of whatever, and that's why it means this to me. I get it. I understand it, because that's why part of the reason why I love Rocky Balboa so much. But to go any further and say that it's a good movie, it's better than two. I've seen people say it's better than two, it's better than four. You're crazy. You have severe brain damage. Okay. You got beat up worse than Rocky did at the beginning of Rocky V when he's concussed in the shower. I can't believe that there's real people out there with that opinion. And yeah, when I was on Prime getting ready to watch Rocky Balboa and I was checking what the score was for Rocky V, and it's like over 4 out of 5 stars. And I'm like, no. No, it's 4 stars out of 10. Yeah, not out of 5. So yeah, you know, people review bomb thing, whatever, and you know, it's a terrible movie, but it's one that I'm glad was made, because without it, there is no Rocky Balboa. What would my fandom of Rocky be without Rocky Balboa? I don't know what it would be, because yeah, I always loved Rocky. I was a big Rocky fan up until, you know, through the first 5 movies, and you heard rumblings for years of Stallone's trying to get the 6th movie made and whether it was going to happen or not. And it took a long time. There's a 16-year gap between 5 and Rocky Balboa. So, yeah, whatever the studio wanted, whatever Stallone wanted, it just wasn't coming together until 2005 and then 2006 when this movie was ultimately released. So it took a long time to get there. So what would my fandom have been without it? I don't know. Would I be this big of a Rocky fan? Probably not. Would I be a big Rocky fan? Yeah, because, you know, even growing up, my room always had a bunch of Rocky stuff in it, especially Rocky IV. But this movie took it to another level. This movie gave me my Rocky movie. And I say that this is my Rocky movie. This is my favorite movie of all time. There's nothing that can ever come out from here to eternity, here from today, we're recording on February 21st, from February 21st, 2026, until the day I leave this earth, there is not another movie that can come out that can surpass Rocky Balboa as my favorite movie of all time. There's Rocky adjacent things coming out. We know they're working on Creed 4. After what I saw in Creed 3, Creed 4 is not even going to be in the conversation. I Play Rocky's coming out in November of this year. I'm probably going to like it a lot. I think it's going to be a good movie. I'm hopefully optimistic, I think the term was that I used for it. But Stallone's not involved in it. He's not in it. So is it ever going to be anywhere near on the pedestal of Rocky? But no. So there's Rocky adjacent things coming out. We heard Stallone always wanted to work on a prequel series of a young Rocky before, we meet him in 1975. He's obviously not going to star in that. So if that ever came to fruition, no. This is it. This is because of what this movie is. There can never be another favorite. There's nothing else out there in, my fandom that if they put another movie out that I could say, hey, I love this is my favorite of all time, because I don't have the reverence for anything that I do for Rocky. So this is my favorite movie of all time. It helps that it's a really good movie. And when I give my final score at the end, you're probably going to say, oh, yeah, you overrated it. And I'm probably going to agree with you. But again, I don't care. And yeah, I know I went on that whole big rant about Rocky V, and I'm going to kind of be a little bit hypocritical about Rocky Balboa. But as I said, this is a good movie. Rocky Balboa is a good movie. Is it great? That's subjective. Okay? Whether or not you think it's great, that's up to you to decide. But it's good. You can't argue that it's not good, and we'll get into the reasons why it's a good movie. It's better. There's better acting. It's better written. There's more emotion involved in this movie as compared to Rocky Five. It's awful. It's just not. There's a couple redeeming things in it, but overall, you're sitting through a pile of junk. And God bless you if you think differently, but I would have my head examined if you do. So why is this my Rocky movie? Before we get into everything that we got to talk about here about this movie, well, a little backstory here. As you know, I grew up watching Rocky IV with my dad. We must have sat in that living room and watched it. If we watched it once, we watched it 100 times. And then I told the story in the prologue episode. The first Rocky movie, well, technically Rocky V came out when I Rocky IV came out when I was alive, because it was 1985 and I was born in 83. So I was 2 years old. There's no, not taking a 2-year-old to go see Rocky. Not even my dad was that crazy. But then Rocky Five was the first movie that I was kind of old enough when I was at an age where you could take a kid to go see movies. But I was 7. And like I said, I got pissed at him because he used it as like a date night with him and my mom. And then, as I watched the movie, I was like kind of glad that I didn't see that movie till I was older. But this was the first time I got to go see a Rocky movie in the theaters. I was 23 years old at the time. This is the first time, after being a fan of Rocky for 20 years-ish, whatever it was at that point, that I got to go to a movie theater and experience a brand new Rocky movie. My wife and I will be married. We'll be together 20 years this April. We'll be together. I'm sorry. We'll be together 20 years this April. Married for 10 also this April. But at that point, we were together 8-ish months, something like that. And she had gotten tickets to an advanced screening. The movie's supposed to drop on Friday. She got tickets to a screening that was being held in one of her local theaters on a Wednesday when they really weren't abundant. It was like one showing at like 6 o'clock on a Wednesday, and everything was dropped. She knew that I was a Rocky fan. She got me those tickets, and we went to go see the movie. And I was excited for it that I was able to go see it before the majority of people did. And I was really excited for it because, like I said, it was a new Rocky movie. First one I was going to get to go see in theaters, and I was going to get to experience that. And it was just the experience of it all was awesome, too, because you're sitting in the theater with a bunch of people that you know really like Rocky, at least at a certain level, because you're going to see an advanced screening of a sequel when the previous one was 16 years ago. So these are all fans. You're sitting in a room, a theater with fans or people that love the fan, like my wife, girlfriend at the time was. So there are people there that are appreciative of what they're getting to watch. And then I'll never forget it, man. It's like you're in the theater as this fight is unfolding between Dixon and Rocky, and people are cheering up out of their seats, like you're at witnessing an actual sporting event. It was unreal, like nothing I've ever experience before in a movie theater, where people were reacting to this fight like it was an actual sporting event and cheering when Rocky was, when Rocky was winning parts of the fight, and was like crestfallen when it looked like he was going to get beat, especially early on in the fight when he gets knocked down. And it was just an awesome experience to be a part of. Like, I guess the only thing I can compare it to was the Thanos snap in Infinity War with the reaction that people had. But I saw that on a Saturday, and I think it kind of had gotten out by that point, so it kind of lessened the effect. But still, the reaction that people had, that would probably be the second biggest reaction to something that happened in a movie that I was ever a part of. But this was just surreal, just like being in a theater full of people that were reacting to a movie fight as if they were watching a real sporting event. So just being a part of that, and the fact that this is, like I said, this was the first movie in my lifetime, like my adult lifetime, that I got a brand new one, something that you grew up as a kid loving and watching. And now it was like, here, this one's, it was almost like, here, this one's for you. Now you get to see this at an older age after you've appreciated all this for 20 years. Here, this one's for you to appreciate now. And it doesn't hurt that this is a really, really good movie. And honestly, this movie had no business being as good as it was after what we sat through in Rocky V. And the fact it took 16 years to get made, that you knew that whatever, that the first pitch, second pitch, the 10th pitch, whatever, wasn't what anybody wanted, wasn't, we couldn't get a consensus on it, that it took this long, that you figured in your brain that it's not going to be good. Like, look at the last one, and then it took 16 years to get the next one made, and it was brilliant. It was almost perfect. Like, if anybody came out here and said, I'll give it a 6, a 7, and I'd be like, yeah, maybe you didn't have the experience with it I did, and I get it. But to say that it's worse than Rocky Five, I don't want to talk to you, number one. Okay, I don't want to talk to you. But it has so many more redeeming qualities about it, and it really, for, if you've been with the franchise as long as I have or longer, it should really hit you in the feels, because there's so many callbacks to the first movie and even the second movie, which will, that we can talk about here, that this movie made you feel things that you didn't feel in Rocky Five, which makes it better on its own. Okay, and like I said, when we talked about Rocky Five, how it was different than Rocky Four and fits more of the tone of the Rocky series. Well, this one kind of harkens back to the original, where Rocky's just got to prove something to himself in this movie, and that's part of the reason, that's part of what I love about this, is that it's the simplicity of it, is that Rocky doesn't need to beat Apollo Creed in the movie. He just needs to prove that he belongs there. And Rocky doesn't need to beat Mason Dixon in this movie. He just needs to prove, actually get rid of the beast in the basement, get rid of this pain that is inside of him. And as the movie opens up, we get the scroll here of the big gold letters of Rocky Balboa, and then we see Mason Dixon winning his latest fight here, and the fans are booing him, throwing ice at him. They don't, even though he's an undefeated world champion, they don't respect him. And, at the end of that little fight clip there, we hear the announcer say, "The world is in the need of a warrior who thrills us with his passion." And who could that be? Who could they be foreshadowing there? And then you see a little, we see the streets of Philadelphia, "Take you back. Do 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 do, take you back." And then we're taken back to the bedroom where the first thing we of Rocky's bedroom, the first thing we see is a picture of Adrian. And then we kind of are led to believe here that she's not here anymore. And then, because we pan over, Rocky's getting up out of the bed, and he feeds Cuff and Link, who are still around from 1975. And then our suspicions are confirmed, because Rocky's at the cemetery and he's at Adrian's grave. Now, I know a lot of people, I've seen discussions about this movie, and people didn't like the fact that Tali Shire wasn't brought back and that Adrian was killed off in between Rocky V and Rocky Balboa. I'm here to tell you that is the wrong opinion to have. Okay. Now, would I have loved to have seen Talia Shire come back? Yeah, of course. Who wouldn't have, right? Because everybody loved her as Adrian. She did a great job in the franchise. Even in Rocky V, she's one of the best parts of it. And especially with the big, I call him the Adrian pump up speech in the street after Tommy leaves. But tell me how this movie works with Adrian alive. Everything that Rocky is going through is because of the pain that is created by Adrian not being there. For this movie to work, she needs to not be here. She needs to, unfortunately, she needs to be deceased. He needs that pain. That's how this movie works. Now, is there a way to make the movie work with her? I don't know. I'm being honest with you, I don't know. And I'm sure Stallone racked his brain trying to write a script or come up with an idea of how to make it work with her here. But the fact is that what was presented to us, as much as, as being a fan of Talia Shire in this franchise, that you wanted to see her back, she needed to not be here. This movie works because of the pain Rocky has because his wife is deceased. And without that pain, there's no movie here. So yeah, you might not totally agree with that decision. You might have wanted to see Talia Shire back, but this movie happens, and the events of this movie happen because he has the pain, and this pain is caused by the death of his wife. So after he leaves the cemetery, he goes to visit Robert at work, and this is kind of where you start to see here that even though at the end of Rocky V it was all home team, things in the past 16 years haven't gone exactly as Rocky may have hoped for him and his son, because Robert sees his father, and obviously Rocky being a big celebrity, especially in Philadelphia, people come up to him, "Hey champ, take a picture, get an autograph." And this bothers Robert. Robert doesn't like the attention that his dad gets, and he even says here that, you cast a big shadow. And Rocky wants him to come to dinner, and he says, "Oh, I got plans," but he ends up canceling. Then the boss comes over, who was just a big prick to Robert 2 minutes ago, but now he wants to butter up to Robert because Rocky's there, so he gets a picture with him. So we're after that scene, we're back at the restaurant, or we get we're not back at the we actually get to see the restaurant. This is what Rocky's been up to after Adrian's passing. He opens up a restaurant called Adrian's, a nice little eatery there in Philadelphia, which I believe is an actual restaurant called, well, it is an actual restaurant, but I believe it's called Victor's Cafe. So when we get to the restaurant, again, nice call back to the first movie. Who's sitting there is none other than Spider Rico, who just becomes a guy that hangs out at the restaurant here. And the hostess, Isabella, gets a call from Robert. Robert cancels, because I guess it's just not that important to him to be with his father, because this is apparently the anniversary of Adrian's passing, because they take the Adrian tour and we get to see all the places that were special to Rocky and Adrian, the pet shop, the first apartment Rocky lived in, which, I guess if nobody's looking, and he said, "Who's this weirdo hanging around on the stoop here?" But then we go to where the ice rink used to be, and it's torn down. And Paulie says he was glad that it was torn down, because, and I love this line, he goes, "Ice is stupid. People standing on ice are more stupid." I always loved that line from Paulie. But then Rocky's kind of getting pissed because Paulie's getting cranky everywhere they go, and the crankiness is increasing. And Paulie's like, "Yeah, what's your problem?" I mean, Rocky's like, "Paulie, what's your problem here?" And he says to, and Rocky says to, excuse me, Paulie says to Rocky, "You're living in the past, Rocco. Change the channel from yesterday. It wasn't so good." And, Rocky's like, "Well, it was good to me." And then this is a great scene here when Paulie's like, "I treated her badly. You treated her good. You had the good times. I didn't treat her well. I don't have to think about this anymore." And you know, we've seen, even though Adrian always loved her brother, Rocky always loved Paulie. Paulie was not a good brother. He was not kind to Adrian, but they always stuck by him. And Paulie and Rocky even says that to him. But Paulie, she always loved you. And then Paulie, and when Paulie's just like, Rock, I can't do this anymore. So then we see Paulie walking away, and then Rocky winds up at, I'm not sure what it's called now. Maybe it's co still called Andy's, but that's where he winds up. And this is where we run into little Marie, who's not so little anymore. And this is when she says to him, you know, I'm sorry to hear about your wife's passing. And then this is when Rocky says, yeah, it was woman cancer, which, you know, could be any number of things, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, we don't know, but it was a cancer that took Adrian's life. And this is when Rocky starts putting one and one together about how he knows her. And then this is another nice little scene here. He goes, yeah, and I walked you home, and then I got to your door and you said, screw you, creepo. And she's like, no, I don't think I said that. And he goes, yeah, great insults last a long time. So that was a nice little scene there. And then Rocky gets into a little dust up with some bar flies and takes little Marie home, and he mistakens the redheaded Irish kid for Marie's son when it's the taller, darker skinned kid. And he goes, yeah, his father was Jamaican. And Rocky's like, oh, European. This is funny. It's just a funny little Rocky quip there. And then he leaves the card for Adrian's on the steps, four steps, which opens up the door for their relationship there. And then now we cut to Mason Dixon going to his old trainer, Marvin's gym. And he's, you know, Marvin's telling him, hey, you know what? The only respect that matters is self-respect, because Dixon is, you know, he knows, he feels he's being constantly disrespected. He's an undefeated world champion, and nobody really cares about him. And Marvin, you know, Marvin's just kind of telling him, he's like, hey, you know what? Self-respect is all that matters. He goes, there's always somebody like you has always got to be out there being challenged. And does Dixon find a challenge in this movie? Well, we'll see. And before, they're not going to spend a ton of time on Mason Dixon here, because he's just kind of there. The main antagonist of this movie, like, okay, Apollo Creed to Clubber Lang to Von Drago to even Tommy Gunn, they were what you would classify as antagonists in this movie. Dixon's not really an antagonist in this movie. He's there because Rocky needs somebody to fight. You get a little bit of his story fleshed out with him wanting and needing respect. But it could have been anybody. And Antonio Tarver played him. And did he do a good job? Was he like electric? No, he was just kind of there. He was okay. Was he as bad as Tommy Gunn? No. Some people might say he was worse. But he didn't need to be anything more than what he was. He just needed to be a body for Rocky to fight. Whereas Tommy Gunn was there to be one of the main antagonists and one of the main plot points in this movie, in Rocky Five. So that's why I look at the performance of Tommy Gunn, Tommy Morrison, differently than I look at the difference of Mason Dixon and Antonio Tarver. So as we move along in the movie here, where did I lost my spot here? Because I like to keep a little notes here, just so we can kind of stay in sequence here. So we're back at the restaurant, and Spider Rico's downstairs doing dishes, and he tells Rocky that, oh, Jesus wants me to work. And Rocky's just walking back up the stairs. He's like, thank God Jesus didn't tell you to cook. So that was a nice little funny scene there. And then we're at a bar where Robert hangs out at with his friends, and you could tell that Robert is just not enjoying himself here, as the ESPN has conducted this computer simulation fight between, you know, like a then and now type of thing between Rocky and Mason Dixon, and they're calling him Baby Rocky, and they're pointing at Robert. His friends are pointing at him, calling him the offspring, and you know, Robert's a smaller guy compared to Rocky, and he's like, what happened to you? And you could tell that Robert doesn't like getting his balls busted about this, and this is part of what is the catalyst for what happens later on in the movie. So, you know, and everybody in the bar is kind of cheering along with the with the computer fight, Rocky wins it, and yeah, so Rock, I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought here. The dog just walked in. This dog throws me off. Like, no matter what I'm doing, he has to come in here, look out the window, bark, and throw me off here. So, yeah, let's get back on track here. So, Rocky takes, we see Rocky taking little Marie home. And the reason why I mentioned this is because when the first time he drops her off, he makes a mention about there being no light bulb, or the light bulb not working at her building. So he takes a light bulb now and he screws it in, and it's a huge light. It's like a lot brighter. And I bring that up. I probably would have skipped over it, but I bring that up because that wasn't in the original script. Like the whole yikes, yowza point, feeling for the wall, that was Stallone, because he was legitimately surprised by how bright the light was. Because if you listen, if you're following along in the scene, you hear the two of them talking, and then he just kind of loses his train of thought for a second, and then he kind of goes right back to it as he's trying to get himself back into character there. Because yeah, he legitimately was thrown off by the brightness of the light here. So then we see Rocky and Steps going to get a dog. He calls Steps, is kind of being a little bit of a smart ass to Rocky. He wants to name the dog Punchy, and he didn't think Rocky was going to go for it, and Rocky goes for it. And then now that Steps sees that Rocky is cool and being cool with it and everything, this kind of allows Steps to maybe take his guard down a little bit and appreciate Rocky. Because then you see him looking at all the fight stuff and says, "Hey, Rock, some of that stuff is really cool back there." So now he's got a different appreciation for Rocky, does Steps. So now, after Steps leaves, this is when Rocky first gets wind of his computer fight, because Paulie shows up, turns on the TV, and shows Rocky the computer fight and him winning the computer fight. And then Skip Bayless just being a complete jerk off there. Okay. He should have been later in the movie, and Rocky should have punched him like Rocky punched Duke in Rocky V. But anyway, so this gets Rocky's mind, the gears in his mind moving here a little bit, that maybe he wants to be doing something else than being a host at his restaurant here. Because now we see him waiting outside for Robert. And he tells Robert that, "I think I want to fight again, just like small local stuff to, kind of get out there and get moving, and, just stand toe to toe with somebody and stay, say, I am, and Robert's just like, "You're crazy." He's just basically telling his dad is crazy, like brushing him off, telling him whatever you're going through, you're going to get over it, and just not really taking Rocky seriously. And then we go to Rocky at the meat house with Paulie. And this is such an underrated scene in the movie here, that it's not that long. It's not, I wouldn't say like it's such a overly acted scene, or I'm trying to find the right word here. Like we've seen Stallone give better performances in scenes as Rocky, but what it means, and why we're getting, and now we're starting to kind of get the motivation of what Rocky's going through and why he wants to fight again. It's so underrated, and I don't think enough people talk about it when they talk about this movie or great scenes in the franchise here. So Paulie's kind of giving Rocky a hard time about reasons why he doesn't want to fight, or why he wants to fight again. And he says, "Well, what, you haven't peaked yet?" And he goes, and so Rocky's like, there's stuff in the basement, and Paulie's trying to get to the root cause of it. He goes, and then he says to Rocky, he goes, "Are you mad because Adrian left you?" And this breaks me every time I hear this scene, and every time I watch this scene, that it breaks me, because it broke Rocky and it hurt Rocky that Paulie put it like that. And this is now you're really understanding the source of his pain and everything that he's going through in this movie. And "She didn't leave me, Paulie. She died." And then he breaks down a little bit and he tells Paul, it's like I never thought it was supposed to be this hard. And then he tells Paul, do you want to come see me train? And Paulie's like, hey, I got a job here. And kind of goes on his own way there. And then we see Rocky next at the God damn, I'm sorry guys, I'm kind of all over the place today. But we'll get through this. We always do, right? So next we see Rocky at the State Athletic Commission as he's trying to get his boxing license renewed, which they tell him that he passed all the tests with flying colors. Now, in 1990, he was too brain damaged to get licensed. And now in 2006, he can get licensed. I understand that advances in medicine are made all the time, right? I understand that. And I understand that without a boxing fight, there is no movie. I understand all that because we're not going down the route of another goddamn street fight again. But you're told in Rocky V, irreversible brain damage. Rocky Balboa, you passed. But they don't want to license him. They don't. Mainly because maybe they did see something that they didn't like and said, hey, maybe, let's CYA here. But Rocky's like ready to accept. And again, you want to talk about reason. This movie had no reason being as good as it was. There, and things that people don't talk about enough. This scene right here, he's ready to give up, just accept defeat. But that wouldn't be Rocky Balboa, right? That wouldn't be the Rocky that we all know and love, to just sit there and accept somebody telling him no, to accept defeat. He's ready to walk out of the meeting, and he kind of comes back in and he says, hey, don't I got some rights? And the guy's like, what rights do you think you're talking about? He goes, that piece of paper they wrote down the street over there. He goes, don't I say something about going after what makes you happy? And the guy's like, the pursuit of happiness. And he goes, well, I'm pursuing something and nobody looks too happy about it. Or I might have missed a word or two there, but I love that scene. It's so great. It's amazingly acted. You just get the feel of what Rocky is in that moment. And he says to those guys, he goes, if you're willing to pay the freight and go through everything you got to go through, who are you to tell me or anybody that they can't do what they want to do? And it worked because they will end up licensing Rocky, because as we leave the convention center, we go to the Robert's job, as I guess he's getting ready to leave for the day, and his friends are holding a paper that says Rocky passes the test. So we know that Rocky is now licensed, and Robert's not happy about it. And now that Rocky's licensed, this gives Mason Dixon's people the idea to hold an exhibition fight between Rocky and Mason Dixon, because Rocky's a very popular fighter, still probably very popular even all these years later. And with the computer fight, the buzz of the computer fight, and now that he's licensed and nobody cares about Dixon, this is an opportunity for Dixon to gain some popularity and make some money here. Obviously, Dixon's like, this guy's old, I don't want to fight him. But obviously, we all know that that's not what ends up happening in the end here. And then this is a nice little moment here between Rocky and Marie, as Rocky's driving Marie home from the restaurant, and he's trying to sort through this all in his brain here of whether or not he should take this fight with Dixon, because Dixon's, I'm sorry, I skipped over a bunch of shit here. Because Dixon's people, after we see Robert not being happy, Dixon's people go to the restaurant and start pitching Rocky on Mason Dixon there. So now it's in his head. So obviously, as he's going home here, he's talking to Marie. He's trying to sort this all out in his brain and whether or not he should do it. And this is the Adrian pump up speech in a movie. So it's still in there. It's given by somebody else. It's obviously not as impactful. It's not Adrian doing it, but she tells him, it doesn't matter what it looks like to other people. It just matters what it looks like to you. goes, at the end of the day, it just matters, you know, it just matters what it looks like to you. And he goes, fighters fight. And then she gets out of the car and he goes, yeah, fighters fight. So we go to the press conference and the press is just ragging on the whole entire thing. And it's because Rocky's too old and Dixon's a joke of a champion for fighting an old guy and nobody's taking the damn thing seriously. And Robert's watching all this at the bar and even hears the bartender say that, you know, it's a joke. Rocky's going to get crushed. And this leads Robert to show up at the restaurant and he wants to talk to Rocky. He wants to try to convince Rocky to not go through with this because it's going to not only embarrass him being Rocky, but Robert as well. And then here comes the speech. The keep moving forward speech. I guarantee you that there are people that have quoted and posted this and used this as motivation that if Sylvester Stallone sat on a park bench next to them would have no idea who that would have no idea who Sylvester Stallone is, have used this parts of this speech, quote, motivational, put whatever. This speech has now transcended a movie and has infiltrated itself into parts of American pop culture. And me talking about it wouldn't do it justice. So we're going to read the entire speech here. I know I don't normally do this on this show, but I want everybody to hear the full version of this speech. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life, but it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers and saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. And what I love about how it ends, he walks past his son and he goes, don't forget to go visit your mother. It's just an incredible speech that he gives there. And it just puts the movie from one level to another because now you have an iconic, quotable scene in this movie here, something that somebody will always remember here. You say, tell me one thing about Rocky Balboa. That's how winning is done. Keep moving forward, whatever, however you refer to the speech as. And I used, I think this was this year's mantra for the run. I used this part. If you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. I think that was this year's run. That was the quote that I used for this year's run, or 2025's run, I should say, that I used. And it was true for me anyway. It was that I didn't, and I know I've talked about this a lot, but I didn't like how I performed in the 2024 run. And then this year was about going out and proving to myself what I can do out there. And I was, you know, I don't remember the exact time, but seconds off from my best time. And I was very pleased with it. And it was about going out there and proving what you're worth. So obviously the speech worked because now Rocky's at Adrian's gravesite and there's Robert. And Robert tells Rocky he quit his job because right now he'd like to be with his dad and they hug. It's a nice moment. And then we cut to a gym here. Rocky's training at a new gym. Duke's there and a whole slew of people. And he's trying going through all the things that Rocky can't do because Rocky's too old. But he tells him that you gotta hit him. You gotta make a dent every time you hit him. And he goes, let's start building some hurting bombs right into Gonna Fly Now. The final training montage of Rocky Balboa's career. Is it my favorite? No, I don't really care for this training montage as much as I love this movie, as much as it's my favorite movie. I don't really care for this training montage that much because I don't like the version of Gonna Fly Now that's used in this. That horn kind of, whatever it is, kind of takes me out of it. I don't really care for it too much. But why I love it and why I appreciate it, I should say, is because it's the final one. It's Rocky's final training montage. the final time that we're going to get to see Rocky Balboa train for a fight. And at the end of it, or what I, before we get to the end of it, actually, you see some nice callbacks in his training to the first movie, him guzzling the raw eggs. Paulie lets him in to beat up on the meat. So there are some nice callbacks in it. And then at the end there, we get to see Rocky's final run up the art museum stairs. Not his final time up the stairs, his final run up the stairs. So that will always be an important part of this franchise. That will always be an iconic part of this franchise to me anyway, is Rocky's final run up the stairs. And when he gets up there, he turns like he did in the first movie, arms up, but he's holding the dog this time. Now, all the promotional material in the official fight poster is Rocky at the top of the stairs with his back turned to the camera, kind of like in the first movie with his arms out, with his arm outstretched. Why is the second arm not outstretched? Because he's holding the dog. But they shot the dog out of the movie poster. Leave Punchy in there. Why'd you have to take Punchy out? Come on, I would have loved to have the official fight poster with Punchy in there. I kind of get what they did there, why they did it, but you could have released an alternate version, after the movie was already released and people were like, oh, he had a dog. Because you would have seen it for the first time and you're like, what the hell's a dog doing there? And then you see the movie and then you say, okay, he had a dog. So I, as a dog lover, you guys all know that. I would have loved to Punchy be part of the official movie poster, but he wasn't. Okay. We don't have to make too big of a deal out of that. And then we go to the weigh-in, and Dixon wants to call Rocky over after it's over. And he's just like, hey, man, take it easy out there. I'll help you save face. But if you try to press me, I'll knock you out. I'll get you out of there. And Rocky goes, a lot of people come to Vegas to lose. I didn't. He goes, it's already over. And Rocky goes, ain't nothing over till it's over. And then Dixon's like, was that from the 80s? And Rocky's like, it's probably from the 70s. It's actually from, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's a Yogi Berra-ism. So it might even have been before the 70s, but nice little touch there that they added. And then what I really do like about the presentation of this fight is they use more realistic sounding sound effects in it, so it sounds more like an actual boxing match than some of the over-the-top stuff that we heard in the previous films. But also is that they piggybacked off an HBO pay-per-view, so it gave you a different feel than all the other fights did. Excuse me, in the previous films, where they were just like these kind of standalone things. These were just like Rocky fights. Whereas this is like piggybacked off an HBO pay-per-view, so you get the HBO pay-per-view presentation. So it gave it a different feel. So that was kind of cool there. And I love this scene here before Rocky walks out to the ring here. And it's kind of like a callback to Rocky IV when Paulie says to Rocky, if I can unzip myself and become anybody else in this world, I'd want to be you. You're all heart rock. Well, Paulie kind of pulls Rocky to the side here and he says, this is it, Rock. Please get rid of this beast. And then he gives him a kiss and he goes, I love you. And that was, and it's like those moments that make you root for Paulie, because Paulie can be such a scumbag and Paulie can be such a bad person at times, especially the people that love him and with the way he treats them. But then, he has these moments where he realizes this is the only, him and Rocky and his sister are the only people that have always stuck by him no matter what. And he has these moments where he realizes that. And that's why and the funny one-liners too, that he has. And he has a lot of them in this movie. Like even in the part before Dixon's people show up, I forgot to mention it, where Paulie shows up with the meat and Rocky goes, well, when they start giving retire after he gets fired, and Rocky goes, why, when they start giving retired people meat instead of watches, and he goes, I don't need a watch. I got a watch. You gave me a watch when he bought him the watch in Rocky II. And then after Rocky bails him out in Rocky III, he throws the watch to the ground. He goes, I got two watches. And then before he shows him the fight, all he cracked a couple of jokes. So aside from that, Paulie does have these moments where you do want to root for him there. And then the irony of this, after what we saw in 2025, because we got a Mike Tyson cameo in this film where he's ragging on Dixon for saying, oh, this is fake, this is for charity. The irony of that, 20 years later, after Tyson's fight with Jake Paul. So the fight starts, and it goes basically how you'd expect it to go, with Rocky getting his ass kicked for not having fought in 20 years and fighting the current heavyweight champion. And after the second knockdown in the second round here, Dixon breaks his hand, and this is where Rocky has an opening here. And this is Rocky knocks down Dixon, and then now Dixon knows he's in for a fight. And now we speed run because this is an exhibition, so it's only 10 rounds, and we speed run through rounds 3 through 9. Now, based on what we saw here, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in a second here. Based on what we saw from rounds 1 and 2, and basically the whole fight here, how anybody, and I understand why they did it, because they wanted to have a call back to the first film, how anybody sat there and watched this fight and came to the conclusion that Rocky Balboa at least won 6 rounds of this fight, I don't know. But again, I understand why they did it. I'm not that mad about it. I'm just saying to myself, who thought he actually won at least 6 rounds of this fight based on what we saw? So, and this, when I saw this movie for the first time, this scared the living shit out of me. And I'll tell you why. Because as I said in the Rocky V episode, nobody wants to see Rocky Balboa die. There's certain characters you don't want to see them die. You just want to see them live forever. You know, if this Creed franchise goes on to be another 40 years or whatever, you're going to assume at some point that Rocky Balboa has passed away. But you don't want to see it happen. You just want to assume, like Rocky said with the dog, you know, nature takes its, you just want to assume that nature's going to take its course here at some point. We don't need to see this happen. But when Rocky, when before Rocky goes out there for the final round and Robert says to him, "There's nothing left more to prove, Pop. Don't take any chances." And Rocky goes, "I got to go out the way I got to go out." And I'm like, Jesus Christ, he's going to die, isn't he? And then Paulie adds fuel to that for me when he goes, "It's the last round to your life, Rock. The last round." And I'm like, he's definitely going to die now. I mean, who? I mean, we talk about all the foreshadowing that's happened, but he doesn't, thankfully. Okay. And then Rocky gets nailed with a big shot. He goes down to a knee, and then he's replaying what you say to the kid. It's not how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you can get and keep moving forward. And it, while he's saying that to himself, you see all these scenes of him and Adrian, and him and the kid, and what's motivating him to get up right now. And then you see that. I love that look. If you want to talk about the performance of comparing the performances of Dixon and Gunn and Morrison versus Tarver, and they both weren't great, but what was the best thing either one of them did in those two movies? It's that look when Dixon sees Rocky get up, and he's just like, that look he gives, he's like, he's, why won't this guy stay down? So the fight ends, and Rocky's career ends the only way that it can end, with Rocky Balboa slugging it out with his opponent. Rocky Balboa lands one final shot, the bell rings, and we go right into the final bell. Taking a second here to compose myself. Rocky lands that final shot, the final bell hits, and we go on our way here to just, I have to, I'm sorry guys, I do have to compose myself here for a second, because I absolutely love the ending of this movie. If this movie ended any other way, I don't know how I'd feel about it. But when I talk about this movie in such high reverence, it's because the ending to this movie is perfect. Rocky lands that final shot. Rocky lands that final shot on Mason Dixon. Immediately, the final bell rings. Rocky hugs everybody in his entourage. He doesn't care about the decision of the fight, who won or lost. He has set out to do what he wanted to do and prove to himself once again something that he needed to prove to himself. Creed. Oh, what? The dog is under here trying to get something under the desk here, but hold on. My daughter dropped a cheese doodle behind my desk when she was sitting here watching her iPad the other day, and the dog wanted it. Hold on. I cannot give it to him. Hold on a second. I'll be right back. Entertain yourselves for 1 second, guys. Sorry. I know. We talked about so much how Rocky Five was a train wreck. This show has been an absolute train wreck. I had to get up and get him a treat. He would have wanted this Cheeto. I'm not giving him this friggin' Cheetos. But anyway, let's please, please, can we please get back on track here? I apologize to everybody right now. I had to leave to give the dog a treat. He would have not left me alone. And now, as we were trying to get through this here. Rocky lands that final shot on Mason Dixon. The final bell plays immediately after he lands that final shot. Rocky hugs everybody that he's with, his son, Marie, Duke, Spider, Steps, hugs everybody. He doesn't care what the decision is. He just wants to leave because, again, what was the first movie about? Rocky proving to himself that he is not just another bum from the neighborhood, that he can go the distance with Apollo Creed. What did he need to do in this movie? Get rid of the beast. And he tells Paulie as the final bell is playing, as he's hugging everybody, the beast is gone. That's what this was about. Getting rid of that pain, leaving that pain behind. And he says, let's go. And you hear the final bell is playing. And the emotion that this is all bringing on at this point, whereas now he's in the aisleway, he's hugging everybody one last time, and he's just getting ready to leave. And Robert and Paulie push him back out there to say goodbye to the fans. Not only the fans in attendance, this is meant to be Rocky's goodbye to everybody. That he's not only saying goodbye as the fighter, the movie character in this movie, to the people that are there, he's saying goodbye to us, the viewers, the people that have been fans of this franchise for 30 years at this point. He's saying goodbye to all of us. Thank you for coming on this journey here. And he's soaking in the adulation of the crowd as we are watching this movie, saying goodbye to Rocky and giving him the adulation that he deserves and that he has earned over giving us this saga and this franchise over all these years. This is how this movie was meant to end. This is how the characters was meant to say goodbye. How do you say goodbye to an iconic character like Rocky Balboa? This is how you do it. This ending was perfect. I don't know how I would feel about this movie if this movie ended any differently than it did. This is exactly how this movie was meant to end. I get emotional every time that I watch the ending of this movie because it is simply perfect in a word. There's no other way to describe it. I don't care if you think I'm overrating it. This is what it means to me. This is how this movie was meant to end. This is how this franchise was meant to end. This is how this character was meant to say goodbye. So as he reaches up to shake hands with that one final fan there as he walks away out of the arena for the final time, and the song ends, which it's just a beautiful song to be playing in this moment, that it captures the emotions of this moment perfectly. That's why, to me, the final bell is the best song of this entire soundtrack. Everybody talks about the Rocky IV soundtrack and Gonna Fly Now and Eye of the Tiger, and they're all great in their own ways. The final bell is the best song. It is the song that captures the most emotions for me in this entire franchise. And how does Rocky Balboa end after he says goodbye there? Well, we're at Adrian's grave, and he says, "Yo, Adrian, we did it. I couldn't do this without you." He says, "I couldn't do this without you." And then he walks away, waves goodbye, and fades off. off the screen, and we're left with that shot of Adrian's tombstone in the rose as the final scene of the movie. The ending makes this movie for me. It's a good movie up until this point. It really is. But the ending is what makes it almost perfect, and perfect in the terms of how this character was meant to say goodbye, perfect in terms of how this franchise was supposed to end. And that's why, at the end of the day, I give this movie an 8.5 out of 10. It's my second highest score after the original. I can't give it a better score than the original, because the original is just so great. But to me, this is the second best overall movie of the franchise. And again, you guys might be sitting there saying, hey, you are overrating this thing completely. And I'll say, you're probably right. But if you listen to the way I outlined this movie, you can understand where I'm coming from with this score. Is that this movie had no right in being as good as it was. There are genuinely funny moments in this movie between Rocky and Paulie. There are amazingly well-acted and well-written scenes in this movie, with Rocky telling Paulie about the beast in the basement, Rocky with the speech to the athletic commission, Rocky with the speech to his kid, and then the ending. I mean, is there a more poetic ending to this franchise than the final punch into the final bell and Rocky not even caring who won the fight, because he set out to do what he wanted to do? We brought this thing all full circle here. The first movie didn't care who won. He needed to prove he wasn't just another bum from the neighborhood. And all he cared about was seeing Adrian at the end of it. This movie didn't care who won. He went the distance again. Proved to himself that he was able to do this one more time, go toe-to-toe, and got rid of the beast in the basement. Didn't care that. And yes, they did the whole split decision thing to tie into the end of the first movie, to bring that full circle. This movie was perfect in that sense. I love this movie. It will always be my favorite movie. This is my Rocky movie. And I'm genuinely upset that this episode kind of turned into a bit of a train wreck here, with me kind of losing my place a couple of times, and then the friggin' dog finding a Cheeto over here where I had to leave for a minute to get him something to eat, or else he would have been begging for this Cheeto. I'm sorry that this happened in this episode. But I really do hope that if you sat through this, and the one thing that you can take away from this is that the reason why we sat and have done this podcast series, and the reason why I am as big of a fan of Rocky as I am, is because of this movie. This movie took my fandom from, hey, yeah, I like Rocky like I like the Ninja Turtles, or like, hey, I like Rocky like I like wrestling. But no, this movie took my fandom to where I say, I'm a Yankee fan and I'm a Rocky fan. And somewhere in the middle there, maybe the Giants fit. But that's where this movie took me to, and how much I genuinely love this movie, because it gave the character and the fans the closure that they needed in this franchise. And we'll talk about this much more in depth next week. I loathe the idea of the Creed franchise when it first happened. I absolutely hated it, because my biggest concern was how you brought Rocky back from a perfect ending. How you had this character that had been around for 30 years when this movie was made. You know, 35 years. When did Creed come out? 2012-ish, somewhere around there. You know, almost 35 years we had this character. And you're bringing him back now after he said goodbye in the most perfect way? That was more important to me as a fan than seeing Rocky Balboa on the big screen again. That was more important to me than seeing Rocky in another movie. Was ruining the idea of ruining the ending to Rocky Balboa. Now, did they do that? Well, you're going to have to stay tuned as we break down Creed next week and then Creed 2 in 2 weeks. But yes, that was my original feeling towards the announcement of the Creed franchise. I hated it. I did not want them to ruin the ending of this movie. I hope that despite how poorly I may feel that this podcast came off, especially when I had to leave to go give the dog a friggin' treat. And I love that dog to death. He's a pain in my ass. And how he found the friggin' Cheeto under there, I'll never know. That I hope that you guys take from this the passion that I have for this franchise is because of this movie. And the love, the genuine love that I have for this movie is that I hope that somewhere along the way that did not get lost in everything else that happened during this podcast. Okay? Guys, thank you so much for joining me on this journey through the Rocky franchise. We have actually completed the Rocky saga of the Rocky franchise here. Because now, next week, as we hit the home stretch here in the final three episodes of this podcast series, we're on to the Creed franchise. Next week is Creed, 2 weeks is Creed 2, and then in 3 weeks from now is the finale episode. We're not covering Creed 3. There's no reason to. And we'll talk about that. Like I said previously, we'll talk about that in the Creed 2 episode. But I thank you guys so very much for joining me on this journey here through the Rocky franchise. And hopefully, maybe you're just listening because you're a fan of mine through NYYST and not really a fan of Rocky. And maybe, hopefully, you at least play the first movie. If I can get somebody to at least watch the first movie, I've done my job here. Thank you guys so much. Please make sure you are subscribed to this very podcast feed that you're listening to us on right now so you don't miss any new episodes of the Thrill of the Fight or the NYYST podcast. Please make sure you're following me on X at Christian_NYYST and on TikTok at Christian.NYYST. I love you guys so much. We'll see you next time.
Looking for a simpler way to explore medical weight loss options? Orderly Meds connects you online with licensed healthcare providers so you can learn about GLP-1 treatment options from home. It's convenient, straightforward, and designed to fit your lifestyle. Get started today at orderlymeds.com/podcasts. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.